Hello and welcome to this week's Inside Education. The program's website is insideed.com, where you can listen to or download podcasts of all previous Inside Education programs. I'm Sean Delaney and you can follow the program on Twitter with the handle @InsideEd. The keynote speakers at the Computers and Education Society of Ireland, CESI, this year were academics from Trinity College Dublin, Elizabeth Oldham and Richard Millwood. Elizabeth Oldham has been a member of CESI almost since its inception in the early 1970s, and she has taught mathematics and IT and education in Trinity for many years, even since retiring from her full-time position a number of years ago. Dr. Richard Millwood is a visiting research fellow in the School of Computer Science and Statistics at Trinity College Dublin and is a member of the CESI Executive Committee. As we heard from Adrian Webb on a previous programme, he is currently coordinating advice from CESI Communities of Practice to advise the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment on the new computer science syllabus for the Leaving Certificate. The joint presentation by Richard Millwood and Elizabeth Oldham was linked to the conference theme and titled Shaping Tomorrow Today, Starting with Yesterday. Elizabeth talked about CESI's past and Richard discussed the present and looked forward to the future. I began by asking Elizabeth to tell us what her part of the presentation would be about.
I'm talking with Richard Millwood and we're taking the theme of the conference as being Shaping Tomorrow Today, and we're looking at the role that CESI is playing, can play, and indeed has played over the past. So starting with yesterday, we're considering shaping tomorrow today. And for some reason, look at colour of hair to see why, and I better tell those who can't see me that it's white, I'm doing the yesterday bit. So my job has been to look at the development of CESI over the years and what we were prioritising at different times and indeed why. And I've been trying to tease out the story of a teacher support group and an advocacy group for different things, all good uses of ICT in the service of education. But the pendulum has swung from programming and computer studies in the early years, because you could do it with a blackboard if need be, and there wasn't any software and there weren't many computers around, through to the excitement of Granny's Garden and the adventure games and the influx indeed of primary teachers who made a great difference.
That's the 1980s, right?
That's the early 80s, yes, about 1982. And so it was a great bridge built to contact primary teachers. And I'd say for quite a while after that, CESI was more primary than post-primary. It would have been advocating for computers across the curriculum, later called IT integration. Yes, we'd be looking at arguments about skills and at what point computer skills should be taught. Did you pick them up or did you teach for them? And then, of course, there was communications and all the excitement of the internet. And all along the line, submissions to bodies of weight and impact. The computer studies courses that came in the 80s, the Leaving Cert module in 1980 and the freestanding junior cycle course in 1985. I don't say they were totally as a result of CESI advocacy.
But they didn't last.
No, the module or the option in the Leaving Cert was finally cancelled only, I think it was in 2013, but it led a very cloistered life for a long time. I need to trace, or somebody maybe will tell me, when the junior cycle course gradually became defunct. It was not examined, and that proved to be a tactical mistake. The idea had been to take pressure off people who were only learning at that time, teachers as well as students. But as the world became more obsessed with exams, so to speak, and also as the excitement of multimedia and the net and everything came along, maybe what was actually a rather good widespread course suddenly maybe did appear a bit unalluring by comparison with some rather easier things to do. So at some point it bit the dust, I haven't traced when, and CESI was not talking about computing much for some years. We didn't totally ignore it, but the weight would have gone towards the more integrated activities. Also producing newsletters, running the original SESICONs. A series began in the 80s and then picked up again in the 90s, I think unbroken now till today. And the student fairs, starting in Dublin's millennium year, the Dublin branch staged a student fair. Participation by students or groups of students with their teachers in charge of them, using IT in a good educational way. And in fact, and I won't have time to say it tomorrow, but my memory from one is of a teenage boy, fifth year maybe, I think it was from BlackRock, who'd produced a package that would run on PCs that was like HyperCard on the Mac, and it was probably commercially viable. There he was, really very, very bright, obviously, having done something to him immensely fulfilling. He was next to a group from a special school. There were four of them. At least one didn't have verbal ability. One could lean and hit the button on the computer and print out the picture that somebody had chosen. Another could talk to the people who came over and ask them to choose the picture and so on. Both projects were using IT excellently so that the students got very, very good learning experiences. That won't be in the keynote, I haven't time for that much, but it stands for me for what the student fair was.
And the student fair doesn't exist anymore?
No, they faded out, I would think, in the early 2000s. Some branches ran them around the country. The Dublin one became the national one over time. But sometime around then, the branch structure was maybe outgrown. SESI people were working at national level with other hats on their heads. The newsletter lasted till 2007. At one point, it was really a journal. It was do you remember Reverish? That was a really good journal that Michael Moynihan produced. Anyhow, maybe a new direction was needed, and it came with the start of the SESI list. And suddenly we began doing things online.
Was that around the early 2000s?
2008 it was functional. 2007 it was actually set up technically, and John Hegarty has been the guru behind it all that time. And suddenly the teacher support bit of SESI's work moved from branches to being through various online or supported by IT activities directly. SESI tweets, SESI teach meets, starting a bit later, perhaps around then. So a lot of teacher support, people feeding ideas to other people, facilitated by SESI. And yes, we kept up the advocacy and made presentations on various occasions. I now don't remember them all, there were so many. But then, of course, suddenly we got that back to the future moment when thoughts of programming and computational thinking and computer science stepped forefront again.
This is the most recent in the last, with the current minister.
It really is, yes. Certainly with computer science, which is, the launch was earlier this year, and the course will begin its phase one in September. So we've pulled the two threads again, the advocacy and the teacher support and the computers themselves, or programming with computers, that kind of work, and the IT integration kind of work, hopefully fairly seamlessly together. And SESI does feel it's really important to keep all those balls in the air.
And what can you learn then from looking back? Because obviously you think you can learn something. So what is the benefit of that?
We've learned that times change and we have to change with them. We've learned that as facilities and needs change, different emphases come to the fore. And that's perhaps my storyline mainly, till I hand over to Richard to deal with today and the future. I hope we've learned that there are lots of things that can be done, both to form a teacher support network and to be a ginger group or advocacy group. I hope we've learned that there is a good space for a cross-sector group like SESI, with primary, second level and third level people all working, mainly for primary and second level, admittedly. Third level is a little bit taken care of elsewhere, but third level, and indeed people outside the education sector, have worked together a lot, all with the same interests of seeing good education facilitated in various ways by IT, or indeed learning those computational thinking and problem-solving skills that can really excite one, and for some students are what makes school worthwhile, so to speak.
And what excites you at the moment?
Obviously, well, maybe it isn't obvious, but I did start with my eye on the programming. I am a maths teacher by background, and though we tried to de-emphasise the link, we were very big into the fact that it isn't maths teachers specifically we're looking at, there probably is a fairly natural connection in some ways with the programming side. So, yes, I have been excited to see the resurgence of interest in computing as such, but I hope my voice still remains as an advocate for the uses of ICT in many, many other ways across the curriculum or integrated into it, facilitating good learning and teaching.
How have you kept up your interest and your enthusiasm over the years? Because you sound as excited today as you could ever have been about technology and education.
It's probably through the people I meet by working in SESI and with other groups like that, with my colleagues in education at the various levels. The Teach Meet tonight is an example. We hear ideas from teachers who are doing inspiring things in the classroom. One feels good about the education system, that it has people in it who have the sort of ideas we've heard about tonight, and where other people are listening and learning and then contributing. So that's probably it. And certainly you couldn't say that it's been the same old thing again and again. I used to slag my professor, Val Rice, in education. He didn't have totally to rewrite his lectures on Plato every second year. Now, I'm sure he revised them, thought deeply about them, and presented them differently. But he wouldn't have to do a massive retool very regularly. My lectures are variously called Computers in Education, Education and ICT, or whatever we were having ourselves at the end, needed constant rewriting. So plenty there to stop one being in the least bored and keep one always learning.
So what kind of books do you read, or what kind of sources of information do you consult to keep yourself current?
Well, one of the sources would be SESI. It would be meeting my colleagues. There is also, of course, the life of research and published papers, conferences to go to that are focused on teacher education with an IT aspect, or specifically computer-type conferences. As you, of course, know, my main field actually is mathematics education. So maybe I do more reading in that area, but I do then look with particular interest at the uses of IT in learning and teaching mathematics. There are journals which specialise in many of these things and would be the kind of reading that we'd maybe do around our research and our teaching. I'm not sure that I'm highlighting, well, books, there's the occasional blockbuster that comes out with very many pages, in effect providing an update on the state of the world in whatever it is at the time. And they will give references to other such things. And of course, there are the education journals, the teachers' journals, again, providing accounts of what people are actually doing. So one isn't short of things to do. The difficulty is finding time in which to do them.
I think everyone has yes, the same problem there. Yes. And what inspires you to keep interested?
I suppose I find it interesting. I do believe it's very important that people learn, that students get good opportunities to engage with learning in a meaningful way that will allow them to develop. I'm possibly old enough to think first of education as being to the benefit of the individual student. And yes, if it improves the state as well, of course I don't object. The economic argument doesn't excite me. It's not that it's unimportant. And if you're quoting this to the minister, we'll just leave that bit out. Of course it's important. But it's the personal development and engagement of students and an intrinsic interest in the subject in its various manifestations, I should say. I, as a learner, I'm interested in teaching and learning. I'm interested in the wide range of uses of technology that can support such different kinds of learning, from drill and practice through to programming with discovery type and problem solving type things in between. Problem solving and programming obviously can be close. So I see through that ways that people can find their type of learning that works for them.
And that is what keeps Elizabeth Oldham interested in IT and education after many years of involvement in the area. The other part of the keynote address came from Elizabeth's colleague in Trinity College, Richard Millwood. So I asked Richard to tell me what his part of the keynote presentation would be about.
We felt that it was helpful because we're both members of the SESI exec, and although I'm a relative new boy of a few years standing and Elizabeth has been here much longer, it would be helpful for us to tell the audience what SESI's like and what it's up to. We know that some will know part of the picture, some will know even the whole picture, but others may be quite ignorant of what it's all about. So my part of it is to explain what we're currently doing to influence curriculum development and policy in the country, and try and help, in a way, us feel proud of our involvement there and justify why we have been selected as the teacher professional network in this context of computing and education.
So in other words, that's what's going on at the moment?
That's the present, yeah.
Okay.
And then the final part of the talk, I'm going to set some challenges that I think we face as a community. Particularly, I will focus a little on the computational thinking kind of stuff, because that's my expertise. But I'll set some challenges. I'll try and explain what I think they are, and that we need to perhaps address them in the future. We need to start thinking about how these get fixed.
So can you give me a sneak preview as to what these challenges are?
I think a good one to talk about, I think it's the first one on my list, is the idea of transfer. We're being exhorted by society, industry, American academics for that matter, to teach computational thinking or develop computational thinking in our young people. And the claims have been made over the years that by doing so, that computational thinking will help them solve problems across the piece in other subjects, in other areas. That's the idea of transfer of that competence. What I'm going to say is I'm not convinced that this has happened before. It hasn't been successful in being transferred. And what are we going to do about that? Now, I have my own ideas about that, and my particular idea is that we should start by thinking how we teach computational thinking within those other subjects, as well as independently in the context of computer science classes or coding short courses or anything else.
So are you thinking there particularly of mathematics, or are you thinking of other subjects for computational
thinking?
I'm thinking
of all subjects. And the reason I think of all subjects is that I believe that the practice of all of the disciplines that we currently try and cover through school subjects in the world of professions, the world of art, the world of university, the world of civic society and leisure, can involve using computers to solve problems.
So somebody might say to you, Richard, come on, history has nothing to do with computational thinking. Yes. Or English literature has nothing to do with computational thinking. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would find an easier example like art. But no, if you want me to talk about history and English literature, I'll do my best, but I'm not necessarily the best person to give the answers. But in my belief, understanding history through data analysis is a very important topic. So historians nowadays will take texts, they will take old diaries, they'll take records of burial data, of genetics, of many, many things which involve information processing and computing. Now, even if you're not the person who actually does that work, but as a historian, as a developing historian, as some of our students will become, they need to know what those things mean, and they need to have some ability to evaluate evidence given, papers written in the historical context. So does that help to explain that?
That? And take the one you put the challenge you put out yourself, art.
Well, I chose art because it's a cheat because I spoke to the Art Teachers Association of Ireland back in September, and I tried to persuade them that they should be the people to teach computational thinking. I was a bit
provocative.
I felt I was being provocative, exactly. And I was certain of my ground at one level. The level I was certain of is that artists over the last century or more have employed computational thinking and computing, indeed, and programming to develop their art. So if you're going to be an artist, again, you may not be the one that does that. You may choose to do a different kind of art. But to be an artist in the sense of a well-educated person that is related to the field of art, perhaps, you do need, I think, to understand your fellow artists that do that. You need to know something about why they've done it and what's going on in their heads and so on. So having a go at that at school is not a bad thing. Yeah.
But
there's something more important than that, which is that we, as you may remember, we ran a symposium in September the week before I went to do that talk to the Art Teachers Association. And I got up at the end just to say to everybody, rather like I did tonight in the Teach Meet, there is a new community of practice for computer science. And I said, by the way, next week I'm going to be talking to the Art Teachers Association of Ireland to persuade them that they might be the ones to teach it. And I thought this is a good way to wind up the computer scientists in the audience. And blow me, but one of the people in the audience came up to me at the end and he said, did you know that I did my master's on this topic and that I did aptitude tests on teachers and art teachers came out as being the kind of person that could teach computer science best of all? And I was astonished by that. And of course it gave me fodder for the following week in the Art Teachers Association conference to say to them, this is not just my fancy, this is actually something you can show by aptitude testing.
So
why would that be is an interesting question,
yes,
isn't it? Why would art teachers be apt for computing? And the secret is in understanding that computing is not just about writing programs in that kind of coding sense, which is often what we imagine, that nerds are there, you know, writing obscure commands and so on. What it's about is designing solutions to problems, okay? It's combining design with thinking, problem-solving thinking, computational thinking, where you understand what could be done to solve that problem and how you can fit it with the design to come up with a solution that is of value. And artists do that as well. Artists are creative too.
And you have the aesthetic sense and you have the design sense kind of coming together in the work of
yes,
artists.
And of course there is a technical craft sense as well. I tend to think these days that competence is a combination of knowledge, craft and character, those three things. And so in computational thinking development, as we develop now our teaching in Ireland of what's called computer science at Leaving Certificate, which what's called a short course in coding at Junior Cycle, and what might be called computational thinking in primary as we develop these ideas, I think we must be ready for applying that kind of analysis of what we're teaching. How are we developing the right character for the people that are going to develop computational thinking the furthest? How are we developing the right craft for them? And how are we giving them the right knowledge or helping them to develop the right knowledge?
But you can't put that in a box. It must be shared out among all of the different teachers of different subjects in order to really be effective.
I think if I was at my most provocative again, I would be saying to any teacher, look at your discipline, look at the thing that you're teaching and ask what happens out there in the professional, academic and civic worlds in relation to your subject. And are you covering that ground off well in terms of computational thinking? So the responsibility lies with them to upskill and to get to know better and to work together to do this together. Because so many things that we do in society in all those sectors are cross-disciplinary now. You know, we no longer have our silos. Or if we do, we're deluding ourselves, in my opinion. We might have specialisms, but we work in collaboration with others to come up with new and complex answers. So the historian, when they're trying to solve problems, will work with the geneticist to discover what our heritage is from the DNA and so on. Does this make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so transfer is one of the things we need to think about for the future. What else?
Oh, good. Now you're asking. So my challenges, let me try and remember them, because they're written in there, but I've forgotten them. Now, I do know one other one, which is very obvious to many people, and that's the question of gender. How do we encourage young women to take part in computational thinking and computing when it's painted as being a nerdy kind of interest? And you may have seen my slide in the Teach Meet just now where I showed this nerdy character. In fact, I dressed up to be like that person.
With the bow tie and
the bow tie and the braces and everything else. And even the red glasses that they had on as well. And this is all part of a kind of game on my part to caricature what we think a computer scientist might be. So how do we make a computer scientist something that a young woman of, I say woman, but, you know, an adolescent, feel that they would like to be? And this is a problem that faces us in all the STEM subjects, but I think computer science is no exception. So some interesting questions there. And I think the answers, I know you wanted me, perhaps you're going to ask me, so what do I propose? And actually it's related to the earlier question, you know. We must provide them with meaningful projects to do. In other words, we mustn't carry on in an abstraction of mathematics, but think how can they use the computing we're asking them to develop and the identity of a computer scientist as a way of solving real and meaningful problems. And we're in much better shape to do that now than we were, say, 40 years ago when we first started teaching programming.
And are those meaningful projects, are they different for boys and girls?
I doubt it. I mean, my best example that interests me a lot at the moment is the one of computer-programmed embroidery, which you might think was a naturally womanly kind of art or craft. Now, the truth is that boys and girls equally enjoy it, but they enjoy it mostly because they end up with something real in their hands at the end of it that looks aesthetically pleasing. Okay? That combination is very well expressed through computerized embroidery. And I think you'll find that girls and boys both, and what we want is both. We want them both not just because we want equality, but we want the talents that that different genders bring, the different characteristics in their own diverse personalities, and we want them collaborating together in a natural and happy way, not one of, you can do this better than me and I'll therefore defer to you kind of nonsense.
And if you were to look at the role of SESI then, yes, over the coming years, how do you think that's going to evolve, or is its role going to remain much the same as it currently is?
I think its role is an interesting question. Obviously, we exist to support each other and ensure we've got somebody to talk to who feels and thinks like us a bit, and also people to discuss and debate with who perhaps have slightly different views to us, but within that same context of computing and computers in education. But I think the interesting part of this is that the use of computers in education is far more than writing computer programs and the computer science I'm currently focusing on. And I would argue that looking at SESI as it stands at the moment, we have a great strength. We have members of our executive busy doing the developments for the nation in primary computing, in the junior short course and so on. And what we must be wary of is doing that to the exclusion of the other employments of computers in education. When we use computers as an aid for learning in more general terms, for example, but not about programming itself.
And do you think we are moving now more towards programming than the broader application of technology?
I think that's the current fashion. And I think that's the way to think of it. We obviously are interested in the fashion. We should be concerned to respond appropriately to the demands made on us by society, by government, citizens, by children themselves. But we shouldn't forget what else we can do. And we should be looking to balance.
So is it a major victory, if you like, or a major coup for SESI now to have got a Leaving Cert computer science on the...
Well, I don't think you can give SESI the... accolade that it got it somehow, but of course many of us are involved in that development, and I think we should be pleased that there is such a thing. Yes, I don't think it's necessarily going to be there for every child. Leaving certificate is an advanced topic, so it's good that there is that option for those that really are interested to develop that talent.
And that was Richard Millwood from Trinity College, a keynote speaker at the SESI annual conference this year, bringing this week's Inside Education to a close. You can listen to podcasts of previous Inside Education programmes on seandelaney.com. My research-informed book about teaching, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have, is available from online bookstores. Thanks to this week's guests, Elizabeth Oldham and Richard Millwood, and to the organisers of the SESI conference for their hospitality. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.